Welcome to Mini Culture, the podcast where we explore the people, stories, and cultural phenomena that make Minnesota, well, Minnesota. I'm your host, John Gibbertatios. The talk radio boom of the 1990s resuscitated AM radio, giving rise to a chorus of talking heads across the United States. Here in the Twin Cities, a renegade voice emerged after sunset, a voice that echoed throughout the late night airwaves and disrupted the status quo of the talk format. Tommy T.D. Mischke's distinctive style, offbeat bits, and disregard for radio traditions made him a thorn in the side of executives and advertisers alike, earning him a loyal following and a reputation as a Minnesota maverick. In today's story, Mischke and his colleagues look at what made the Mischke broadcast so unique. Here is producer Kyle Sheely.
Tom T.D. Mischke was born in 1962, growing up one of eight Catholic kids in the McGroveland area of St. Paul. After being kicked out of Creighton High School, he graduated from Highland Park in 1981. In high school, he was known as a class clown, and afterwards he palled around for a few years until one day Mischke found his calling, literally by phoning into a radio station.
I was driving a newspaper delivery van, filling newspaper racks, and my brother told me that there was this thing on the AM side called talk radio. I was listening to music. Everyone I knew was listening to music. The idea of listening to talk would be like getting your dad's old records out or something. I switch over to AM, listen to talk. I say, you gotta be kidding me. They let people call in? I just couldn't believe anyone would allow that. So I called using a payphone to see if it's true. And when I got on, I didn't know what to do, and I just yelled something, and I hung up, and then I turned on the radio in my car, and I heard the end of my call along with these guys just busting out laughing. I remember that moment. It must be a moment that happens to stand-up comics where there's a charge that comes because something you just did caused this guy to laugh. And I suppose in one way or another, that's been the story of my whole life.
Following that initial phone call, Mischke started calling into the Don Vogel show every single day, never using the same voice or giving his real name, earning him the moniker The Phantom Caller from Vogel.
The best ones were, I can damn near recite them. I remember one was about a cowboy's life being a lonely life. There he is with the cattle. He's got a hankering for a friend, so he looks at the cow with those sad, sad eyes. But the cow cannot be his friend. He cannot care. He's just ugly. Well, moo, 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 over cattle. The cowboy is coming.
Moo, over cattle. The cowboy is coming. He has needs like you need.
I think the reason that sticks in my head is how often I replayed it back then, because Vogel's laugh following that one went on longer than any I ever delivered, and he couldn't recover, and he couldn't get to where he could do the show, and he kept having to pause. And that's the reason I did it. It was all done to get Vogel laughing, so you won the lottery if he laughed.
Mischke was obsessed, giving up his afternoons every day for 8 months to perform these calls until Vogel was hired away by WGN in Chicago, and Tommy thought his dalliance in radio was over. 4 years later, though, third-generation Hubbard Ginny Morris was looking to make her mark on the family business and took over as president of the struggling station. She began assembling a distinct cast of characters to shake up Twin Cities talk radio, free of the confines of the Fairness Doctrine. That included hiring Vogel back in 1992. This time around, Vogel was looking for a partner on the radio and convinced Morris to hire Mischke as his sidekick, despite her initial reservations.
I remember we didn't pay him very much. I'm sure Tommy knows exactly how much we paid him. It wasn't very much, and we thought we'd give it a try. We didn't have anything to lose because the station was losing money, lost money for quite a few years. But he brought him in, and my goodness, it certainly worked.
What I learned, and I think what Don knew, is he needed to play off people. Don, all by himself, could not be at his best. And when he talked to me about this, and I offered to be on as his sidekick, he said, that would be beneath you. which shocked me. I think what he realized and meant was, there's no money in this, pal. So when I did it for $20 a show, he didn't understand it, but for me, it was a glorified Phantom Caller thing. I did Phantom Caller for free. This was 20. I'll take it.
With Mischke by his side, Bogle found success in an afternoon drive, and KSTP started to rebound from its decades of dormancy. Mischke couldn't have been happier.
The idea that I would ever get on the air, physically, drive time, sidekick, my own show eventually, there was nothing that said that was possible. That was more foreign than the idea of calling up and getting on a radio show. It's impossible to imagine a better life. Now, again, we're talking about for someone like me, for someone who likes to do rock climbing, many better things.
Following a split with Vogel, Mischke would launch his own show, The Mischke Broadcast, in 1994. His unique voice would see him named Best AM Radio Personality 9 times by the readers of the City Pages over his near 2-decade career. John Haidt began working with Mischke as his straight newsman towards the end of the show's run. He remembers the first time he heard about Tommy when he started working at KSTP.
All I remember is everybody telling me, you know, he's a little off the wall. So it took a little bit to get to know him. He's not real outgoing when you first meet him. And he seemed fine and nice. And then slowly but surely, you know, he turned weirder and weirder on me. And things just, you know, went on from there.
Let's go to bottom of the hour news with John Haidt. Hi, Johnny.
Hi,
I'm
Tommy.
Gonna come in there and wrestle you now. Do the news.
All right. 69 degrees in Minneapolis and St. Paul. The erratic behavior of 4 passengers caused a Northwest Airlines pilot to divert his jet.
Get out of there! Keep doing the news best you can.
Well, I can't really read it.
Yeah, you can't. You can do it if you want to.
Very strange, to say the least.
Brad Lane is the brand manager at WCCO Radio these days. Before that, he was an early morning host and eventually a manager at KSTP. He recalls when he heard about Tommy Mischke.
I remember people telling me about this insanely creative and different and unique personality on KSTP at night. It was 8 to 10. You had to listen to him. They couldn't describe him. He doesn't abide by any of the traditional benchmarks of radio. He doesn't come out the same way. He doesn't go to break the same way. His topics are off kilter. He just sounds different.
By the mid-90s, KSTP was riding the conservative talk wave to great success. As talk radio across the country started to sound more like this.
Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh Program, a program exclusively designed for rich conservatives and right-minded Republicans and those who want to be either or both.
Why are you listening?
I'm listening because I hate you guys.
The Mischke broadcast became a refuge for the phantom caller types no longer welcome on daytime radio. Mischke's unmistakable style developed out of his interaction with those callers.
Fridays, I would take off from the serious stuff and do something I called Misfit Fridays. And the other side of my brain would take over, which was that comedic side where the news of the day was unimportant. Let's just play with it and let's go off on tangents and in directions that are surreal and ridiculous and odd and in a odd, sometimes a sort of Monty Python-esque way of odd. Just really just loosen the screws of the brain and let the show morph into something that's not like anything else, just something weird.
Hello.
Hi. How come there's no Mischke on?
He was killed in a boating accident.
For real?
Yes.
This isn't a joke?
No.
Oh, well, if it was about anybody else, I would think it was for real, that no one would joke like this, but he really was.
Earlier today.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mischke had no fear, so it wasn't always just about the caller. It was about him and his ability to do something with every caller. If it was a great call, he could do something with it. If they were playing along with him, great. If they weren't, even better. Tommy could do some things like, you're not answering my question, or you're not talking to me. Let's just sit here silently until we figure out what we're going to talk about. And he'd do it.
Who are you?
I'm the producer.
Oh, okay.
What can I do for you?
I just turned on my radio so I could hear you. Sorry.
Oh.
All right. What thing with the McDonald's hat? Well, I'd like to give my opinion about
what
that.
Are
also,
you?
The guy that called in earlier,
exactly.
Earlier,
I don't know what your thing is before us. Then.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said I can't pay all that time that you're talking.
All right. I'm on a cell phone, so we're bad reception.
No, I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, I'm on a cell phone. There, I just walked outside.
Oh, it's much better. Yeah, it's better.
Nah, you're breaking up.
Oh, shoot.
This is not going to work.
No, it'll work. Right. It'll work. Can we keep trying? Because I really like you.
Oh, well, I also want to comment about the guy that thinks he's from another planet.
Yeah, what's that all about, man?
Well, nothing at all. Hell, I wander around this here planet myself, and I think
I'm with you there. That's how bad.
I'm not picking you up at all.
How about at 10? I'm off work then. Or no way.
They got out of it what I got out of it as the Phantom Caller. They became stars in their own right. People loved them. And they got on a 50,000-watt radio station. They stepped on stage and got to play in the sandbox with me. And I know that thrill they felt because I was in their shoes. And the listeners got this weird family of people every night, this weird group of misfits who would participate in some strange ritual that hadn't been there before and has disappeared since. This weird talk radio ritual that was its own thing. It wasn't like something else. It was its own thing.
Mischke continued to apply his Phantom Caller attitude to every show, creating unique bits and breaking formatics to keep the show different. Among the bits, there's one that stands out among fans' minds most of all.
I can tell you what it is before you play it.
All right.
It's the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Welcome, Mr. Gumbinger, to our talk show. It's a pleasure to have you on with us.
Is this Gordon or Joe?
This has interested me for many a year. Please that at last we can discuss this.
How you doing, Joe?
T.D. Mischke, sir. Mr. Gumbinger?
Yes.
T.D. Mischke here.
Oh, okay. Hey, P.D.
T.D.
Okay.
There have been many shipwrecks in history. What makes the Fitzgerald so special? Oh, it's something I've thought about for many a year. It's a question with which you can wrestle.
I'll have what you're having now. Let's see. I think the fact that it happened in our lifetime, there's no doubt that most of your listeners were probably alive when the ship sank.
Could something like this ever happen again? Is there any way we can avoid it? Should they be worried today up there near Whitefish Bay, or am I just getting all paranoid?
There's always a possibility of a maritime disaster, and you hope that it doesn't happen, but it seems to happen every decade or so.
That's Marconi Award-winning radio, because it's so different.
That's genius. I mean, that's you can't duplicate that.
That bit is brought up more to me than any other by a long shot. Man, that's going to be on my gravestone, I think.
Unencumbered by management interference, the Mischke broadcast would grow into destination listening for its many fans. Mischke's antics became infamous, and his renegade spirit and carefree attitude was something probably only the Hubbards would allow. As radio consolidated, became corporate and more formulaic, Mischke continued to stand out by doing things no one else would ever think of doing, like one show where he never spoke during the entire two-hour broadcast.
You know, the night that I didn't say anything, the head of the whole operation, Stanley Hubbard, was driving and heard that show, and he called his daughter, my boss, the GM, Ginny, and said, "What on earth is happening?" And Ginny, to her credit, tuned in, listened to her hired talk host not talking for 2 hours, called her dad back and said, "That's Mischke, you know, what are you going to do, you know?" So what a weird sort of a way they thought of me, you know?
We knew that we had something that could not be put in a box and had to be given air to percolate and evolve the way it was going to evolve, and that it was going to be like nothing that any of us who'd spent careers in radio had ever seen, imagined, or experienced. So we had to some degree, let it go, to some degree, even when it meant trying to repair relationships with advertisers or making sure we stayed on the right side of the FCC.
I asked John Haidt what he remembered about Mischke getting into trouble.
Which time? No. he did commercials, and on occasion his comments about the client might not be what the client wanted, or he might go after, say, a fast food client who he perhaps thought their food wasn't good for you or healthy. I know that one got him in trouble.
I don't think Mischke ever said anything that either wasn't true or that he didn't believe in. It wasn't like he was taking people apart just for that sake. I don't think he has necessarily a mean bone in his body, but I also don't think he suffers fools. And I think when something bothers him, he has no filter. He's authentic. He's an authentic personality who has to tell you what he thinks. And that's what made him great is also what made him a pain in the ass for, you know, ownership and management.
When KSTP acquired the rights to Twins baseball in 2007, Mischke moved to middays, where the scrutiny was higher and his antics were no longer looked at as just late-night anarchy. After 17 years, Mischke's time had come, and he was fired by KSTP in December of 2008.
I got fired doing something that was not only illegal, but just before doing it, I announced to the audience, I'm about to do something that is completely illegal. So on the air, I give the attorneys that line and then do the illegal thing.
Okay, technically what Mischke did is not illegal per se, but it is against FCC regulations to call someone and put them on the air live without them knowing.
Of course, it's something I think I had done, I think over 1,000 times by that point, but so they had created a monster by letting me do it so often.
Hey, you should call over to 45, ask them where they came up with that little ditty.
No.
What do you mean, no? See, because you do this, you force me to do something completely illegal.
Good afternoon, 5 Eyewitness News.
Hi, I want to call Channel 45.
This is 45 as well. May I help you?
It was not why I was fired. It might have been one of many things we put on the list, but the crowning blow was suggesting people blow up a hospital. However sarcastic he may have been, we just couldn't allow that to go.
Wait a minute. Can you stop this a second? Wait. Blow up a hospital?
Yeah, the McDonald's and the Abbott. You would have heard it there. You want to keep going?
Yeah.
This is part of a four-minute conversation that immediately followed after Mischke's call to the front desk.
They had an hour-long show on about odd McDonald's.
Just
ones
odd?
Ones that didn't have the normal buildings and didn't have the golden arches and all that. I didn't watch it.
You know what the oddest one is?
I don't.
Well, the oddest one would be the one they built in Abbott Northwestern Hospital. Inside, for the patients to use.
That is odd, yes.
I will never understand that. I just, you know, if a bomb blows up that entire facility, they have that coming. Whoever okayed a McDonald's to be put into the hospital.
That might be a little harsh, yeah. Tommy.
No, I'm serious. That is a sin against nature.
So, two things here. I was definitely, let me put it this way, they clearly stated to me when I was being fired that I was being fired for calling Channel 45. They stated that. They wrote that. That is what I got fired for, which is a perfectly legitimate thing to get fired for. Now, was I actually advocating blowing up a hospital? Listen to stand-up comics. This is mild compared to suggestions made in stand-up comedy. No, but I was stating how insane the idea was of putting a McDonald's in a hospital. It to this day that a hospital says, you know what we should have is a McDonald's for our patients.
he pissed off the wrong partner. You know, he pissed off the wrong client. And, you know, it happens. It's not something, you know, that we all wanted to see or hear. But yeah, their patience ran out. And I think that Tommy had just said the wrong things, and it was jeopardizing a very big and lucrative deal, and they had to make a call.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you did. Oh, yeah, I knew that. That's what I was alluding to when in my thing there, yes.
I'm glad the truth is coming out, because I'll never forget the call from the general manager, Todd Fisher. Mischke, it's no big deal. You inadvertently stepped on a landmine you could not possibly have known, but we're negotiating with McDonald's. It's a really big contract. I know you couldn't have known, and McDonald's, of course, not advertising now, but the regional director was listening, and he heard that thing that you said about McDonald's, and now the deal is threatened. Don't say another word about McDonald's. But 6 months later, some guy comes up to Mark Moeller, an advertiser of mine when I was at KSTP, and says on the golf course, I'm the guy who got Mischke fired. I'm the regional director for McDonald's. But I've never heard it admitted till now. It was never admitted. No one ever said it till now.
Despite being fired, Mischke has no regrets.
If you don't risk going too far from time to time, you're probably never going far enough. In order to work in this area, you got to play near the edge. And anytime you play near the edge, you will risk going over. And that's an occupational hazard. So I definitely went over occasionally, but I was dancing in that world where you can slip over. But if I hadn't been, I would have been boring. If I could pick the title for my autobiography, you know, it would be Live Wild. Just live wild, live... You know, and all that means, you know, live a wild life, have a wild life. I think that's what I was born to have, and that doesn't work with a lot of things.
For KFAI, I'm Kyle Sheely.
This story was written and produced for Miniculture by Kyle Sheely. Miniculture is a production of KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Support for Miniculture is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This podcast is edited and executive produced by Julie Sensulo. More episodes are coming soon, so make sure you're subscribed to Miniculture wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, John Gibertatios. Thanks for listening. Thank you.